10 a.m. W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Affirmations of support for Ukraine by governors from around the country as Ukrainian President Zelensky addressed the National Governors Association in Salt Lake City on Friday. Oklahoma Republican Governor Kevin Stitt.
Taking a percentage of our national defense budget and helping one of our allies defend against an aggression makes common sense to me. I think it makes common sense to most Oklahomans, most Americans.
Zelensky's address to the association comes after he took part in the NATO summit in Washington this week. The judge overseeing the involuntary manslaughter case against actor Alec Baldwin dismissing the case on Friday. The move comes after his attorneys say the prosecution withheld evidence from the defense. President Biden holding a fired-up rally in the battleground state of Michigan Friday, emphatically saying that he's not leaving the race. Jury deliberations underway Friday in the corruption trial of New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez. This is ABC News. Wrongdoing. The West continues to suffer under extreme heat, and with that, more fire departments are using new ways of cooling people down who are suffering from heat stroke.
In Henderson, Nevada, when a call comes in of somebody suffering from heat stroke, firefighters can now use what are called polar pods, basically bags that they fill with ice to bring down the victim's core body temperature. Thomas Vince with Henderson Fire.
It allows us to encase the patient and fully enclose them and immerse them in ice water.
He says Henderson is the first fire department in southern Nevada to use polar pods. In the Las Vegas area today, the temperature is around 115 degrees. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The world's first hydrogen-powered commercial passenger ferry is set to start operating in San Francisco's Bay Area as part of plans to phase out diesel-powered vessels. California officials held a demonstration Friday of the 70-foot catamaran that will transport up to 75 passengers along the waterfront between Pier 41 and downtown San Francisco. I'm Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr.
Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You may have heard the word derecho as a part of the weather lately, but what do you know about it? Derecho is a Spanish word meaning direct or straight ahead. It's why you may hear straight line winds blamed for damage from a derecho. A downburst, which is an area of strong, damaging winds, causes a derecho, and the Weather Service does not issue warnings for these. They're just standard severe thunderstorm warnings. So this means you'll want to be weather ready during any severe storm. If you're outside, camping, hiking, boating, find a shelter. Otherwise, lie flat, face down, on low ground. Most derechos happen in July, and Wisconsin typically has one or two per year. But experts say climate change will only help increase these numbers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. New research takes a grim view of Wisconsin's drinking habits. Mike Moan has more on calls for preventing alcohol abuse.
Wisconsin still ranks high for beer production, but Maureen Busawaki of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project says consumption levels for all types of alcohol overshadow market gains. For example, all Wisconsin counties exceed the national average for excessive alcohol use. And in 2022, the state recorded more than 3,300 alcohol-related deaths.
This has been an ongoing problem in Wisconsin. In part, I think, how our regulatory system works, how our culture works, and there's maybe not as much enforcement of policies as there are in other states.
Busawaki does see hope at the local level with stronger enforcement at community events. However, Busawaki reports that people who've developed a drinking problem often encounter waiting lists for treatment programs. Faith Gladham leads the Harbor Recovery Center, a nonprofit in central Wisconsin that emphasizes family support in transitioning to recovery. She says they're able to meet demand through their services, but referrals for more intensive help can be an issue.
We do not have enough treatment beds in Wisconsin. We do not have enough detox facilities that detox with dignity.
And Busolaki says it's important to understand not just the short-term effects, such as traffic fatalities, but the cumulative impact as well.
Cancer, high blood pressure, heart disease, liver disease, stroke. And then there's the social and wellness issues. You know, your family gets frustrated or you're losing work.
This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs near 85 degrees, south winds around 20 miles per hour. For tonight, a low around 63 with scattered storms. Mostly sunny, warm again for Sunday, a high near 86. For Monday, scattered storms and 83.
It's 60 at our studios.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday on Up North News Radio, we'll preview the start of the Republican convention, and the League of Women Voters will give us their take on those constitutional referendums.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is TGI Friday. It is the 12th of July, 2024. A great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along here from Wisconsin Media Row, site of next week's 2024 Republican National Convention in the great, I think it's great, city of Milwaukee here. We're glad to have you along. Mr. Zommer's back at the worldwide headquarters high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square in Madison, Wisconsin. Mr. Zommer's, how's the weather outside the beautiful studios today? Been a while since I've seen you in person. I've been on the road all week.
It has, and it's going to be another week or so.
It is, yes. But things are, you're holding down the fort, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a bit toasty in Madison today for my taste.
Oh,
it's 83 degrees today, currently.
And I'll see it down here by the lake. That's one of the great things about living in Milwaukee, of course. It stays usually a little bit cooler down here. So right now, 81 here at the lake. Sunny skies, looking for a high of 82 in Milwaukee, and a light breeze. So maybe after I get done, head on down to Lake Michigan there and check it out.
Go for a dip. Go jump in the cold lake.
A lot of people have told me where to go, that's for sure. But I'm staying in town tonight because I have to pick up all of our Civic Media Secret Service credentials tomorrow and distribute those. So, and by the way, the Secret Service folks, big props to them. They're fantastic people. Secret Service doing a great job, have their dogs going through all of our equipment, keeping people safe. And also the great Teamsters who are doing all the work of moving our equipment and everybody else's around. Big shout out to them. So these national conventions, doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on, it takes great people to keep everybody safe and keep them going. So we really appreciate all their work as well. Yep. So onward and upward here at the Republican National Convention. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, by the way, our old friend Peter Rapine of EPOM's World will be back with us here in Milwaukee. Going to be here at 1:30 or just after and tell us it's a great way to end the week because it's a little bit lighter. It is news of the wild and wacky real things that real humans do. Peter Rapine of EPOM's World coming up at the bottom of the hour. If you'd like to call in, give your thoughts, your feelings on the Republican National Convention coming to Milwaukee. Any questions you might have, ideas of things that you want me to cover or to bring to you next week here from Milwaukee, invite your calls. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to back to the phone lines here, and I believe it is Mark from Prairie du Sac. Mark, always appreciate you listening in and calling in. Mark, what say you?
Yeah, you mentioned earlier that the true believers and those that are just going along with it, And I don't know which is worse, because the true believers are just ignoring the facts, and those that are just going along with it are just acceding to evil, just because it's convenient for them, or they think they can gain political points for it. I mean, it just, for each and every one of the Republicans that are there, unless they can condemn what happened on January 6th and the fake electors conspiracy, for starters, condemn it without qualification, not making any excuses or anything like that. They're just in violation of their oaths of office and a betrayal of American democracy itself. And I know that they say, well, it's not a democracy, it's a republic. It's a democratic republic, you damn fools. And if you actually crack the book, read the Federalist Papers or read any of the writings of the time, that you'd actually know that. And this, for the Supreme Court to pull what they just pulled and say, well, the president's immune, I can just call BS on that. Just, you know, that they did not intend the president to be immune. I mean, the anti-federalists were concerned that we were creating a king when we created a constitution, and Hamilton said, we are not creating a king. Well, the Supreme Court just upended, you know, 240-plus years of American history and said, well, we want to have a monarch. I mean, I think in Thomas Paine's work, book, The Rights of Man, if you ask the ordinary citizen back in when the Constitution was founded, do you want a monarch? And the person would respond to the person questioning that, do you take me for an idiot? Well, I'm not going to be allowed to be taken for an idiot. I do not want a monarch, period. And for the Republicans to go along with this and say, well, no big deal at all, you know, that this is not really doing that, well, BS, because Donald Trump is a criminal, as Jack from Merrimack brought out, you know, laying out Donald Trump's crimes and misdemeanors, felonies and misdemeanors, and who knows what else he's done that he hasn't been charged with. They embrace this man. It's just mind-numbing to me.
And you're a long enough time listener, as many of our loyal listeners are, and we appreciate it. I think, you know, you all know, but those that might not listen regularly, you know, I didn't come here, I'm not going to be here all week next week to just give a platform to ongoing lies and things that aren't true. That's not why I'm here. I'm here because I wanted to your point. I'm just curious. As someone who spent 30 years in the Republican Party who left in 2011, I'm curious to know anybody that shows up here can I find anybody walking in the halls here that says, well, I'm here, but I'm really not thrilled with Trump, but I really, you know, is there anybody like that? Or is everybody here, are they just completely, for lack of a better term, you'll probably hear it a lot next week, drinking the Kool-Aid and all these things that you said, Jack, that were, Mark, that were absolutely true. So that's part of why I'm here. And the part of it is just to fact check. I mean, we're not going to carry all these speeches, but we're going to try to at night with Terry Bell and our panel to kind of go through what happened during the day and then try to say, okay, here's kind of reality and kind of point out in factual terms what's going on. So, you know, believe me, it was not an easy decision to say, I'm going to come down here and cover this all week. And then if we do, how do we do it? So, you know, I encourage you to keep listening, keep calling in and keeping us honest. But, you know, for you and everyone else, that's my purpose, is to give people a flavor of what's here, not a platform for the lies and untruths.
Yeah, well, pin their ears to the wall, I mean, is what my dad probably would have said.
We'll do our best, and we'll try to have a little fun along the way as well, Mark. We always appreciate it. Thank you so much. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, if you'd like to call in and join the conversation. I want to turn a little bit to what we talked about just briefly earlier on, but President Joe Biden had a press conference after the U.N. meetings here this week in the United States, particularly on Ukraine. And so the national media was there last night and gave the president gave the opportunity for national media to ask him a series of questions. And once again, it was meant to show that the president of the United States can do these things unscripted and that he's capable of another 4 years. My personal opinion is I thought it was fine. It was okay. I don't know that it really moved the needle in terms of people who already are having doubts whether Joe Biden should be the nominee. I'm not sure that it moves that dial at all, other than the first question where you know, he misspoke. I don't know that you could say it's a cognitive problem. We all get names mixed up, but you know, it was not the moment to do that on the first question when Biden misspoke and called Trump his vice president. Everybody knows if you listen to the whole thing in context, he meant Harris, but he misspoke. And of course, that was the first question. So boom, bada bing, that's going to be the headline. Other than that, I think it showed the president of the United States, the current president, Joe Biden, has a grasp of foreign affairs. He knows them like the back of his hand. He could talk intellectually about it. He probably talked, in my opinion, a little bit too long to prove that he was okay and could do these things. The answers kind of drug on a little bit. But here's the thing. I just don't think that it does a whole lot of good for people like me or any really all of us in Wisconsin. No, I'm not going to have an influence on whether Joe Biden stays in this race and is the Democratic nominee. At the end of the day, that's a decision that Joe Biden has to make. What I think is much more important is that we are here in Milwaukee for the RNC and every day and continue to point out the other candidate. The guy is a 34-time convicted felon and the things that are going on. And to use each day and each opportunity to say, we're going to point out what the other side is doing here because there is a choice coming up in November. One is for an autocracy on the Trump side, and one is for a continuance of our American Democratic Republic on the Democratic side. I thought it was put very well by once again, the co-founder of the Lincoln Project. He was on, I believe this is... MSNBC, Mr. Zomers, keep me on this. I believe that. Thank you very much. This is from MSNBC from a couple of nights ago. Here is Rick Wilson, always tells it like it is, his thoughts on what people should be doing if they are truly focused on saving democracy.
You know, Joy, this is an example of the difference in the two parties that, as a former Republican, I can tell you, if Donald Trump tomorrow said, I'm a cannibal, I love to eat live babies. I barbecue them at Mar-a-Lago every day. Every single Republican would go, well, yes, it's the new fashionable meat. This is what we should all be doing. They would get in lockstep. Here's why they have a political powerhouse, in that unity and that loyalty, is they understand that this is a race that matters. If Democrats think right now they're going to have some Baroque, bizarro world, candidate switch, flip-flop, they're overlooking two things. Joe Biden had 14 million Democratic voters come out and vote for him in the primary this year. He has all the delegates at the convention. It's not my job to tell Joe Biden what to do. It's my job, and it should be everyone's job in the Democratic Party right now, to turn their fire on the one person who will destroy them and the country, Donald Trump. Every single day, I wake up and go, what is the best and highest use of my time? And my time is best used taking an iron pipe to Donald Trump's kneecaps. It is best for everyone to remember that if you play this game out past the convention, you will have given Donald Trump a 2-month vacation where he works in his golf game as Democrats sit in the circular firing squad. This has got to stop. The unity, look, and at the end of the day, whether the candidate is Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or some guy from behind the bus station, we're running against a guy who will destroy this country by implementing his Project 2025 blueprint. And no matter how much Donald Trump says he didn't do Project 2025, it's got his revolting DNA all over it. This is a guy who, if we don't focus on the fact that this is a race against Donald Trump, a referendum in this country against Donald Trump, we're going to end up with 4 more years of Donald Trump. This is something I hope my Democratic friends and allies and colleagues will wake the hell up and understand that no matter what your inner party dispute about Joe Biden is right now, you better turn the machine back on and attack Trump every minute, every day, every hour without stop.
There you go. Now that's how you get it done. Rick Wilson, co-founder of the Lincoln Project, every minute of every day, do not stop until Election Day. I think he says it pretty darn plain. I can't improve much on that. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Your calls. Also your texts on the Civic Media app after this. And Peter Rapine after the bottom of the hour. We are live on location at Wisconsin Media Row, site of the 2024 Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to Wisconsin Media Row at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Glad to have you along here on the Civic Media Radio Network on this TGI Friday, the 12th of July, 2024. Coming up after the news update at the bottom of the hour, Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World with wild and wacky things that real human beings do. Looking forward to that. Also, your texts and calls. Give us a ring, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also dial us in at the Civic Media app available at your Apple or Android device. Off the text line, Jeff listening not too far away in Shorewood on WAUK says, Todd, are you at Fiserv Forum inside the building? No, I'm at Panther Arena, just across the parking lot, basically. He says, if so, you are not, quote, at the lakefront. You are well inland. Well, I get it, Jeff. I was saying after I get done, I may take a walk later on down by the lakefront. It's within walking distance. It's not that far away. He says, and I was at the Milwaukee County Courthouse late this morning. Traffic is getting squeezed compared even to yesterday. Just a heads up to your other listeners who have business at the courthouse. Now, that is news you can use. We appreciate that on-the-ground reporting, Jeff. Yeah, we came in literally... my sister and brother-in-law, we drove from River Falls all the way down here to Milwaukee, got in about 12:30 this morning. It was a perfect time to come because there wasn't a lot of traffic, as it turns out, at 12:30 this morning. But we got up and we stayed downtown here in a hotel, and it was a lot of the roads are closed off for this event, and if you have any business downtown Milwaukee, I would say get it done sooner rather than later, or certainly allow a lot of extra time, because these things always do cause a lot of disruption. Also, while listening in, I guess this is Jeff from Shorewood again saying, yes, Todd, that is how you get it done, talking about the Rick Wilson comments right before the break there. So why don't you guys at Civic Media get it done? You have spent the last 2 weeks wringing your hands over Uncle Joe Joe's missteps, why no focus on Trump's ramblings, unquote. Well, I mean, Jeff, I actually, we haven't spent a whole lot of time on the Democrats and Joe Biden. We've been traveling around the state with Trevi Olson telling stories about Wisconsinites from New Glarus to Wisconsin Dells to Chippewa Falls to River Falls, and now down here in Milwaukee. Look, I mean, when there's a major headline, we're not going to shy away from it. We're gonna talk about it. But at least on our program, I can only speak for our show. I haven't had a chance this week to listen to a lot of my colleagues because I've been on the road. I can only speak for myself and say we're going to report headlines. But no, we haven't spent a whole lot of time, talking about all these kind of periphery stories about Democrats wondering what the heck's going to happen. Because I, like Rick Wilson, believe that, and that's why I've had Trygve Olson on this week. He'll be on again all week with us next week here in Milwaukee, talking about Donald Trump and the Republicans, but in particular, Trumpism, and pointing out the differences. I think the thing, as I said right before the break, is that, and Trygve and I have talked about this a little bit, is you don't want to overwhelm people, because I live in this world, right? I'm constantly holding up my phone here. I'm constantly scrolling through Twitter, ask my friends and family, because I'm trying to constantly digest the news. So I'm up on top of it so I can come here and be informed. So I get these things like Project 2025, but I think it's important to recognize there are a lot of folks who are not, and you realize this when you travel around with the state to New Glarus and River Falls and Chippewa Falls and Wisconsin Dells. There are a lot of folks who are not paying attention. And the reason isn't in my heart, it's not because they don't care. I mean, a friend of mine says, we're going to turn this into a bit at some point. He likes to say, I care, but not enough to do anything about it. And I think it's because people feel overwhelmed. And they're like, it just seems unbelievable. I don't get it. There's no way that could be real. And they just turn it off. So I think that it's important, at least for me, when we talk about things, to bring it in digestible bits so that we can talk about it, dissect it, and say, yes, this is real, but not so much that we're going to overwhelm people to the point where they just want to turn it off and not listen and not go on with their lives. So it's I'm not going to deny it. It's a fine line to walk to try to understand how best we're going to present this to people and how best we're going to get people to understand the consequences of this race. But that's what we're here for this week. That's what we're going to keep doing all of next week, is to bring you the facts, to bring you the truth, and to fact check people as we go along here. Starting to get busy, as it turns out. Lots of people walking through the hallways here. The place is starting to come alive. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can also ding us on the Civic Media app. You can download it here on your Apple or Android device. Also listening on WBZH, Buzz of the North, up in Hayward. This is fantastic. A new caller, a new listener says, traffic is getting heavy in Hayward. Also, took me at least 45 seconds waiting to turn into the Marketplace Foods. Not used to going to town on a Friday. I've been to Marketplace Foods in Hayward when we were up there for the Birkenbinder. That's where I bought my supply. I stayed on a cot. Well, it was a futon in our studios up there in Hayward. I've been to Marketplace Studios in Hayward, or Marketplace Foods. Great place, by the way. Great outlet up there in Hayward. We appreciate you listening on Buzz of the North. That is the difference, right? Traffic in a smaller town in northern Wisconsin compared to Milwaukee. That's the best tweet of the day so far. The best comment of the day, by the way. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Or two, if you would like to dial in. A couple of minutes left here before the bottom of the hour. Again, I think that we have Carmella here in Milwaukee, listening right here in Milwaukee. Carmella, we are happy to be here in your city. Thanks for calling in. What say you?
I say, yeah, I'm happy you're in my city too, and definitely go by the lakefront. That's my happy place. Yeah. When you were bringing up playing Rick Wilson, I agree wholeheartedly, but I also agree with you. I brought this up before. You brought up about 3 weeks ago about being part of a coalition, and mm-hmm. I bring it up to everybody because I don't have all the stats in front of me. Why? Okay, where is inflation right now? Where is this? And I always get that rebuttal. I'm like, you know what? I'm part of a coalition to save democracy. Doesn't matter if I'm Democratic, Republican, Independent. It just doesn't matter. This matters, and we need to be part of this coalition. So I'm crediting that to you. I've been saying that whenever it gets brought up. It's just my only rebuttal back. So I just wanted to thank you again. And go ahead.
No, I was just saying thank you for the compliment, and I think you nailed it. And to repeat that is worth repeating, and it's a good reminder for me to keep repeating that this isn't an us or against them. As Trygve Olson from the Lincoln Project, my friend, likes to say, and he's fought authoritarianism around the world, in World War II, the second most terrible person in the world was Joseph Stalin. And the first most terrible person in the world was Adolf Hitler. And so you make an alliance with the second worst person in the world in order to take out the worst person in the world. And that's what we're doing here in 2024, is to try to create a coalition to defeat Trump and Trumpism And that means you're going to have an unusual alliance with people and factions you might not always do, and might not on the other side, but for that moment, you're going to have a coalition to get it done. Always appreciate the call, Carmella. Appreciate your listenership as well. We'll come back and talk to Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, here live from Wisconsin Media Row at the Republican National Convention. It's the Todd Allball Show, live on location on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Affirmations of support for Ukraine by governors from around the country as Ukrainian President Zelensky addressed the National Governors Association in Salt Lake City on Friday. Oklahoma Republican Governor Kevin Stitt.
Taking a percentage of our national defense budget and helping one of our allies defend against an aggression makes common sense to me. I think it makes common sense to most Oklahomans, most Americans.
Zelensky's address to the association comes after he took part in the NATO summit in Washington this week. The judge overseeing the involuntary manslaughter case against actor Alec Baldwin dismissing the case on Friday. The move comes after his attorneys say the prosecution withheld evidence from the defense. President Biden holding a fired-up rally in the battleground state of Michigan Friday, emphatically saying that he's not leaving the race. Jury deliberations underway Friday in the corruption trial of New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Brewers host the Nationals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game two of a three-game series as the Brewers host the Washington Nationals tonight. The Nationals won game one last night, 5-2. Milwaukee's Freddie Peralta, the losing pitcher, says he's looking forward to a stronger second half of the season like last year.
Like, my second half was really good. So now I'm just trying to clean my mind and just move forward.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Can't start matching records and say, well, you should have done this, should have done that. I thought there was a lot of good in Freddie's outing.
NFL, Aaron Rodgers says he was in Egypt when he missed the Jets' mandatory minicamp. Rodgers golfing this weekend with A.J. Hawk and actor Miles Teller at a tournament in Lake Tahoe.
My Achilles feels good. It's just about getting back into it. I felt good all spring. Had a nice OTAs. Had a beautiful trip to Egypt. Summer's over on Sunday. Walking up 18 is like super bittersweet, but it's fun to be out here. Especially, I mean, A.J. and Miles, two of my best friends.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs near 85 degrees, south winds around 20 miles per hour. For tonight, a low around 63 with scattered storms. Mostly sunny, warm again for Sunday, a high near 86. For Monday, scattered storms and 83.
Currently 59 degrees.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Our last installment for Why People Don't Vote Week discusses what solutions are being proposed to encourage eligible citizens to register and vote. The Center for American Progress outlined reforms which would encourage registration and voting. They include automatic voter registration to encourage registration at the DMV when obtaining a license or car registration. Oregon registered 219,000 new voters by AVR before the 2018 midterm, and 47% of them voted. Online voter registration, which includes submitting identification and other documents electronically, has eased the hassle for working people to register. A study in Georgia found that 71% of online registrants turned out to vote, higher than in-person or mail registration. Pre-registering 16 and 17-year-olds is effective in getting younger voters engaged. They can't vote until they're 18, but often schools can encourage future voting when coupled with civics education. Florida saw a 4.7% jump in youth voting as a result. Early voting and voting by mail helps all manners of people to vote, providing flexibility in schedules for parents and working citizens. In the last few weeks, Georgia has shattered its early voting records. What are your options for registering and voting? Contact your city or county election office or website for details. Articles and links to groups taking action are at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Republican National Convention gets underway. We talked to Greg Treverton from National Security Leaders for America about the ramifications of a possible Trump second term.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location from Wisconsin Media Row in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. A great city, by the way, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The site of the 2024 Republican National Convention will be here all next week to bring you the flavor of the room, fact check along the way as best we can, and not give a platform to lies, but rather to give you the flavor of what's going on here and just to report it to you. In the evening then, from 7 till 8, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, my colleague and news director here at Civic Media, Terry Bell, and I will co-anchor our evening wrap-up, where we kind of going through what's happened during the day, have a panel here to fact checked as well, and set the stage. So looking forward to having Terry here with me, and of course our entire Civic Media team spread out across the city of Milwaukee all next week. Joining us now, as he does each and every other Friday, the managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine. Peter, always a pleasure. I have a feeling I'm no soothsayer, I'm no fortune teller, God knows I'm not a medium, but I have a feeling you may get a couple of headlines for E-Bombs World out of Milwaukee next week.
I mean, we'll take it, but we're not going to be happy about it. We'd rather politics be boring. Make it boring again.
Make it boring. That would be a winning slogan for some politician. I'm here to make politics boring again, right?
Please. Please.
Well, we always appreciate you taking time and stopping by and joining us from StreamYard, because once again, we like to remind people these are not things that are made up. It's not satire. It's not fiction. These are real, actual humans doing actual stupid things.
Yeah, I hope we have the funniest, dumbest headlines that your audience is going to hear or read this week. I'm pretty sure we do.
Absolutely. So these are all at E-Bombs World at ebombsworld.com. You could dial it up, and when you want to take a break from politics and just look at things that make you kind of chuckle and say that's ridiculous, and, you know, we all need that lighter look. So let's get into it, Peter. Once again, what is our first headline from E-Bombs World?
All right. So our first headline comes to us from Columbus, Ohio. It's a story about a guy who had sounds like a tougher week than most of us. Headline reads, man accused of breaking into pet store caught with hamsters in his pants.
Man accused of breaking into pet store caught with hamsters in his pants.
I think we can say he's probably guilty. You need like a, right? You're not caught red-handed, you're caught hamster in pants or something. So this is a body cam footage of police accosting and arresting a guy for breaking into a pet store. And when they did the search on him, they found that he was actually wearing cargo pants, and he had multiple hamsters in each of his cargo pants pocket. So if you have cargo pants and you're not sure what to do with those extra pockets, here's an idea for you.
Now, this always fascinates me, because in this case, it was a burglar. But these people that try to smuggle exotic animals into their pants on a plane, right? I mean, there's literally the people, there's a snake in your pants. Well, thank you very much. I mean, or whatever it is. Or I think I saw not too long ago, somebody tried to like smuggle like birds that have been drugged or something in suitcases. Well, what is it with people and pets trying to smuggle them around?
Well, I think it was maybe a month ago, we talked about the guy who was arrested for smuggling ferrets in his
pants. That's what it was. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why people would put animals in their pants.
Just for the pleasure, I guess. I don't know.
Well, maybe you didn't have a backpack. I mean, if you have cargo pants, I guess like you could fit a hamster or a gerbil in your cargo pants. There's nothing weird about that.
No, nothing, not at all. As a matter of fact, here I'm expecting to find at least a couple of attendees of the RNC with hamsters in their pants.
Probably more than just hamsters in their pants.
Probably. I wouldn't doubt it. So do we know what happened to this guy? Was he taken into custody?
He was taken into custody, and the hamsters were returned to their cages.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah. So thank goodness.
It ended well for the hamsters.
As long as the hamsters are safe. You know, yeah. The other guy I don't care about, but as long as the hamsters are safe.
Yeah, hey, crime does not pay. Yeah, even if you're just exactly. trying to steal, you know, a furry little friend.
See, even when you tune into EPOM's world, you might learn a little lesson. Life, crime doesn't pay. That's fantastic. All right, next headline.
Next headline, and I know we've all, you know, have had bad days, but none of us has probably have had a bad as a day as Derek Balsberg, who recently got plastered all over the news for having explosive diarrhea in Gwyneth Paltrow's Hamptons home. He's not a celebrity. He's not a guy you'll know from a reality show. He's not a writer. He's not a director. He's one of those guys who hangs out with celebrities, what we call a hanger-on.
Yeah.
Well, over the 4th of July weekend, he was hanging out at Gwyneth Paltrow's house, and he had an upset stomach. And then the next day, his face was plastered all over the head, the tabloids.
And I mean, here's my question. How does this get out? I mean, here's a guy. We don't know what went on. I mean, he might have eaten something bad or maybe, you know, he had bad medication. I think most of us who've lived a while have had a bout of unexpected diarrhea. But then you're at a celebrity's house and things go terribly wrong. But my question is, how does it get to the media? Because Gwyneth Paltrow is not going to call up and say to her publicist, you'll never guess what happened this weekend.
That's a great question. Maybe a cleaning lady. Maybe he had like an enemy friend at the party and they ratted on him.
I think you hit on it, Peter. It's the poor cleaning person who had to clean it up.
Right? And the funniest part of this story is all the comments on social media were like, man, he gooped in Gwyneth Paltrow's house.
It's one of those things that you hope never happens to you, right? Am I right? I mean even when it's not explosive, I mean, if you have to use the restroom and then it's like, and the worst thing is when you're at someone's house and you have to sit down and use the facilities and then the smell and you look around, and, oh my God, there's no air freshener and there's no fan. And you just peek out the door wanting to make sure that no one knows it was you who was in the bathroom before they went in there.
I mean, the only advice I'll add or give to this guy is if it were me, I would write an op-ed for the New York Times being like, yes, I'm the guy who had explosive diarrhea at Gwyneth Paltrow's house.
You'd own it. You'd own it.
Yeah.
All right. next headline, we're talking, by the way, to Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World. Peter, next headline of the wild and wacky.
All right, so this one's just kind of silly and trollish. But there are a lot of gimmick accounts on Instagram. They're on TikTok. They're all over the place.
Really? I hadn't heard that.
I know. New concept. People give advice. They offer services. But this guy, he goes by the handle John Breaks Bad News. And you can hire him to break bad news. And so our headline reads, man hires Instagrammer to tell his friend he's banging his sister.
Man hires Instagrammer to tell his friend he's banging his sister. There's so many layers here, but go ahead.
And the video is as funny and short as it possibly could be. It's 45 seconds long, and it's a recording of John talking to this guy's friend saying, hey, I've got some bad news. Your buddy told me he finally hooked up with your sister. How do you feel about that? And the guy he's talking to is like, dude, that guy's such a jerk. I hate that guy. He always cheats on girls. Like, he's no longer my friend.
I bet he's not. My question is, why does the guy want to have to tell him? Why tell him? Why bring this up, particularly in a phone call like this?
It's a good question. Probably for content, right? Probably for the views. Well,
exactly right. My point. They might have been in on this together. All right. I understand, Mr. Zomers. We actually have this audio, and it's FCC approved, Mr. Zomers. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Very good. So here now, the man that was hired Instagrammer to tell his friend he's banging his sister.
Hello?
Hi, Kyle. This is John from John Breaks Bad News. I have some bad news from Jaden for you.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so he's been trying to get with your sister, Cassandra, for the last year. And last week, it finally happened. He knows that you aren't going to be happy about it, but maybe have a twee and a think over it.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
All right, thank you.
So what? Why don't you want your friend to be with your sister?
He's a scumbag who cheats on people.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's unfortunate.
Well, there is that, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, I love you.
It's all right. Maybe he'll grow up.
Yeah, maybe. Probably not, though.
No, all right. Probably not.
All right, so now I have even more questions, because after hearing the audio, they gotta be on it together, right? I mean, if someone had called me up, you know, but she's married now. But if someone would call up and said, "Hey, I'm banging your sister," I'd be like, I'd have more of a reaction of like, "Oh, okay, right?"
True. I was gonna say he took it like a champ. I mean, there's no real way you can get that phone call and be like, "Okay." Why are you telling me?
I think you hit on it, Peter. I think it was all for the content. Probably. And quite frankly, I think it would have been better content had the guy been a little bit more like animated when he got the news.
So you don't think he sold the news enough? You wanted him to?
No.
I think when I heard it, I thought he was like, "Yeah, that's what I thought." That's how it read to me.
Like he already knew.
Like he was prepared. Yeah, he knew it was coming.
All right, wacky and wild headlines of Peter Rapine of EPOM's World. Next headline.
All right, so, and I apologize for bringing up the Hawk Tua girl. I don't know how you personally feel about it. She's been everywhere in the news the last couple weeks.
Yes.
It's what we at EPOM's World call a meme for the normies.
Right.
It's, you know, the internet's silly at times, but there is a dark version of the Hawk Tua girl out there. So our headline reads, "Hawk Tua's evil cousin, Fart Tua, is here to fart on that thing."
Okay. So you go ahead.
And this obviously is, she's doing this for the content, but she also is an OnlyFans creator who does fart-related content. That's her whole spit, her whole thing is farting. And it's a short little video of her sitting in her car saying, "Yeah, I don't just spit on that thing, I fart on that thing." And then she literally rips a fart that should go down in the history book.
Now, I don't think we necessarily need to play the audio on this one. I think we'll take a pass on that. But again, I guess my bigger question here is this content, and I think it speaks to the larger, I'm not trying to get all serious here on you, but who's watching this stuff? I mean, people that really want to, you know, it seems like people do this wild and wacky, really wacky stuff just for the content, just for the clicks, right? And then the more clicks they get, the more money they make because, you know, TikTok or people are paying people to get the clicks. Is that how it works?
Well, yeah. I mean, just like the other week how we talked about the kid that wrote the diss track for his grandma.
Right.
It's people trying to get views. And the people watching Hawk Tua, Fart Tua, probably 15-year-old boys, you know, 16-year-old boys, young boys and girls. It's a new trend, and it obviously isn't going away anytime soon.
And thank you, Peter, for bringing us the latest in social media trends here on the show. We always appreciate that to keep us current. Because the kids that listen to the show, they want to know that we're current.
Yeah. And parents listening out there, right? Your kids are trying to do the most vulgar things online to go viral. That's the new game. Be vulgar, be ridiculous, and then you'll ideally get a reality show made
And that part you're not making up, Peter, right? I mean, you're a guy who lives out in Brooklyn. I mean, you've got your pulse on what's going on with young people and the internet. That really is true, right? I mean, the more vulgar, the more disgusting, the more hits and clicks they're getting, and that's what they're going for.
Yeah, I mean, hey, the presidential candidates do it as well too.
Right, and that's just the RNC, as it turns out.
Well, I don't want to, you know, hammer Huck to it too much, but there was a video of her this week where she got paid, I think, some $30,000 to appear at some club event in Vegas. And kudos to her, you know, for getting the bag, as they say. Yeah. But hey, that's the world we live in.
That is crazy. All right, here we got about 30 seconds. So we're gonna go to the break here, and then we're gonna come back with more with Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World News of the Wild and Wacky. We're on location at Wisconsin Media Row in Milwaukee on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Republican National Convention is being held in Milwaukee, and it marks the first time the RNC is in the Badger State. But Wisconsin holds a special spot in the election cycle, with the RNC the second consecutive political convention in Milwaukee. The city was picked for the Democratic National Convention in 2020, but due to COVID, most of it ended up being virtual. Do you know which city has hosted the most political conventions? Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston? The answer coming up. Political conventions started in the 19th century. It remained the main way to select candidates until 1972, when presidential primaries determined the eventual nominee. Conventions are now considered more of a celebration of the candidate. So do you know which city has held the most political conventions? Chicago. The Republicans have been there 14 times, and the Democratic convention will be hosted there for the 11th time this summer. 50,000 people expected at the RNC in Milwaukee, a nice slice of Wisconsin for the country to see. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from the award-winning Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, right down the street, as a matter of fact. We're here in Milwaukee, the Maggie Dawn Show, every afternoon, 2 until 4. Be informed, be a listener. Coming up after the news, weather, and sports at 2, Maggie Dawn from 2 until 4. Right now, as per usual, every other Friday, Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World. We always enjoy him stopping by live from Brooklyn, New York, to tell us news of the weird, wild, and wacky. Real humans doing really dumb things. Peter Rapine, next headline.
All right, so the next headline comes to us from Reddit, and it comes to us specifically from the R Hygiene subreddit, which is a community of people.
R Hygiene, all right.
Yes, it's a place where people talk about hygiene. There was a lot of drama in the community this week when one of the mods pinned a post about the proper way to wipe your butt or clean your butt. Right. So headline reads, mods of R Hygiene urge community members not to wash their asses with soap.
Now, wait a minute here. What are people, I mean, so this is about hygiene, and let's not get too graphic here, but say not to wash your Netherlands here with soap. Why is this? Well, is there medical factoids or not?
There actually is.
All right.
There is. So it comes from a Australian government funded health information portal where they say that the best way to actually wash down there is with just water. That they argue
just
that
water.
You don't really want to use soaps in and around that private area, as it can lead to drying the region and it can strip the region of its natural oils. And this obviously was a really big debate on the hygiene subreddit because most people like to wash that part of their body pretty good.
Yes, I'll just simply say yes to that.
Yeah.
But now, but this could these be people on the, and those that don't know, Reddit is kind of an online open chat room, for lack of a better description. Is that fair?
It is. It's the internet's biggest forum. Yeah.
Yes, community forum. And but this is apparently now medical backing information that better not to use soap in your private areas while you're in the shower because it could dry you out, strip you of your natural oils.
Yes. And I think why it was so controversial is that most people in that subreddit are Americans, and most Americans do not use bidets, which is a crucial part of cleaning.
Now we're getting somewhere. Yes. Now we're getting somewhere.
Because Americans don't use bidets, they overcompensate with soap. Whereas if you're constantly using a bidet, you don't have to clean as rigorously as Americans do.
Now this is getting into real news here, because there's been a lot of news. I've seen a couple of different TV programs, whatnot, going to researching or looking at bidets. And for those that don't know, it's basically a toilet with a water fountain on it that sprays up and takes care of the business. And they're more common in Europe than they are here. And that's why now here we go. This makes all the sense in the world now, is that we need more. And apparently, have you heard about this, Peter? They have heated bidets where it's like your seat and the water is like warm. Mm-hmm. Have you ever used one?
Oh, my gosh. Life-changing experience.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard this, actually, from people that really. All right.
Everyone I know who has a bidet would swears they'll never go back. It changes their
really?
Life. Truly.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm kind of anxious now to try a bidet.
Well, think of it as like if you were to, you know, say your dog went to the bathroom in the yard and you had to pick it up with your hand,
right?
Would you be content with just washing your hand with a napkin?
That's a great point. No,
you
absolutely
don't want to put your hands in the sink. No. You want to put some soap on it, some water on it. So apply that to down there.
See, now this is news that people can use. All right, we got about we got a couple minutes left. So what else we got? More headlines here from EPOM's World. All these stories, real and factual. You can find them on EPOM's World. Peter, what do you got next?
So this one is actually a feel good story.
Fantastic.
This is not a fail, not someone being a moron. This is news that we all should celebrate. According to science, there was a study done that. The Hill reported on. It was a London organization did a report, and they found that having one to do two drinks a day only lowers your life expectancy by a total of 2 months.
No.
Yes.
This is fantastic news. Go ahead.
Our headline reads, "That's a great deal." According to science, having one to two drinks a day only decreases your life by 2 months. And obviously, everyone was really excited when they read this headline. Like, it's an excellent deal. This is the best deal in the history of the world. Because 2 months is not that long for, 70-odd years of having a good time.
Exactly. Because there's always these stories that come out, well, if you don't drink at all, you're going to live longer. And then you have... And I love the story. It's usually like a French person. It's like Jean-Pierre who lives somewhere in France, and he's 108. And Jean LePierre says, "Well, I have at least a glass of red wine a day. That is what keeps me very young." I'm a terrible French accent, but you think, well, why can't I live like Jean-Pierre? And now you're telling us, Peter Raypon, for the cost of only 2 months, you too can live like Jean-Pierre.
You can. I think there is a correlation between the quality of alcohol you're drinking and that expectancy. So people that drink natural wines that have higher antioxidants are better for you than drinking beers with lots of sugars in them or mixed drinks. I know tequila is a better one to drink because it doesn't have as many carbs in it. So also the type of alcohol plays a part in this, I think, too.
So just have a good drink. Don't have a drink. Have a good drink.
Have a fancy drink.
Well, at least a good or fancy or a nice bottle of wine, you know, can actually just mellow you out. And really, what's 2 months amongst friends?
Exactly. I think the trade-off is more than worth it.
And then I'll see that's a great feel-good story. You got one more to slip in here before we let you go?
Yeah, I do. This one I will ask the audience to go watch on the site because it's it breaks the rules for what you can say on the radio.
All right.
Our headline reads, Wisconsin barflies have the most Wisconsin conversation ever.
All right.
And, quickly, and it's two dudes at a bar arguing with each other. They clearly know each other. They clearly don't like each other. And they're letting each other know it.
That, what could be more Wisconsin than that? I have a feeling we're going to have quite a few bar fights here, maybe in Milwaukee. Hopefully not. I'm Peter Apine, managing editor of EPOM's World. Thanks so much. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Thanks,
Sean. You're welcome. Also, thanks to Matt DeFur of Wisconsin Watch, Zach Schultz of Wisconsin Public Television. Mr. Zomer is getting it done back at home. My sister and brother-in-law for being great producers. Heather and Mike, I love you.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pete Schwabba.
Monday night, we will stream live on Facebook, X, and YouTube from 7 to 8 p.m. during the RNC and be back on the air live from 8 to 9 p.m., where we welcome the master of radio magic, Gizmo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. Matt Nair on air.
Project 2025, it's going to drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn. She says, well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do. And it's scary, especially when we're talking about firing more than 50,000 civil employees and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.